Blue light is getting blamed for everything, from eye strain to cancer lately. But what does it do to our patients with depression and bipolar disorder? A lot, as you'll see in this podcast, but it depends on what time of day it's shining. Welcome to Psych Pearls Podcast with Psychiatric Times, the voice of psychiatry. With thoughtful insights into the world of mental health, this podcast provides timely clinical commentary and practical cutting-edge pearls for you and your practice. We hope you enjoy.
I'm Chris Haken, the Mood Disorders Section Editor for Psychiatric Times and the Editor-in-Chief of the Carlatt Psychiatry Report.
And I'm Kelly Newsom, a psychiatric NP and the co-host of the Carlatt Psychiatry Podcast. The biological clock is set by the daily rhythms of light and dark. Morning sunrise and evening sunset. And this clock is so integral to bipolar disorder that you could almost rename it Fragile Circadian Rhythm Disorder. Actually, patients prefer that name over bipolar disorder. And it gets to the heart of the problem. Bipolar is tightly linked to the genes that regulate the biological clock. And lithium actually helps repair the clock by altering the expression of those genes. Many of the behavioral therapies for bipolar disorder, like dark therapy and social rhythm therapy, also work through the biological clock, helping patients to keep it running smoothly by regulating their exposure to light, darkness, and the timing of daily activities.
But bipolar disorder is not the only mental illness that is linked to disrupted circadian rhythms. Unipolar depression is as well, though to a lesser extent. For example, rates of circadian rhythm disorders like phase delay or night owl syndrome are more common in bipolar and unipolar, but they are about 20% less common in unipolar disorders. And research is exploring circadian rhythm therapies in borderline personality disorder, substance use disorders, schizophrenia, ADHD, and PTSD. But while research is advancing in the circadian direction, society is moving the other way. Indoor living and nocturnal light are dampening the natural signals that set the biological clock, and there's evidence that this is causing harm to our patients. In this podcast, we'll explore those dangers. But first, a little background on how light, and in particular blue light, sets the biological clock.
Light suppresses melatonin, but not just any light. It's the color that matters here. And blue light in the 460 to 480 nanometer range is particularly good at suppressing melatonin and promoting wakefulness. In the 1990s, a new photoreceptor called melanopsin was discovered that only responds to blue light. And it's this receptor that regulates melatonin production through the suprachiasmatic nucleus, the timekeeper of the biological clock. What that means is that the body's internal clock depends on strong shifts in blue spectrum light at the bookends of the day, morning and night. High levels of evening blue light and low levels in the morning disrupt not just circadian rhythms, but also the clock genes implicated in bipolar and other psychiatric disorders. The main source of that blue light are electronic gadgets that weren't available 20 years ago. Smartphones, LED screens, and energy-efficient bulbs emit a blue haze of light that's very different from the yellow starlight that we evolved under. This light may look white, like fluorescent bulbs, but white light has a lot of the blue wavelength within it. Distance also matters here. A cell phone close to your face emits about as much blue light as a large screen TV across the living room.
The problem with nocturnal blue light is not just psychiatric. Blue light in the evening is associated with physical health risks, including obesity, diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular and neurologic diseases, gastrointestinal ulcers, and adverse reproductive outcomes. The American Medical Association released a position statement calling for reductions in nocturnal blue light, and psychiatry is catching on as well. Recently, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry updated their pediatric sleep recommendations in 2018. They are no longer recommending night lights for anxious children and instead emphasize elimination of blue light sources in the bedroom. Child psychiatrists in Canada have taken even stronger recommendations against nocturnal blue light for children.
It's the young and old that are most vulnerable to these light changes, as we'll see in the research here. But they are also the patients who are more likely to sleep with some lights on. So if your patient needs a light at night, whether because of a childhood phobia or a fall risk, they can purchase amber night lights that don't emit the blue wavelength. Just search on Amazon for amber nightlight or go to www.lowbluelights.com.
Psychiatric patients in general are more sensitive to the circadian disrupting effects of evening blue light, particularly patients with bipolar disorder. Melatonin is delayed, diminished, and more easily suppressed by blue light in people with bipolar disorder. Circadian disruptions also trigger new episodes of mania and depression, such as shift work, seasonal changes, and travel across multiple time zones in people with bipolar.
Travel across time zones is only a problem with air travel, because the clock has time to adjust when you travel by land or sea, unless you're driving at 300 miles per hour. And on average, it only causes problems when patients travel across two or more time zones. Mania is more common with west-east travel, and depression more likely when traveling east to west. A simple rhyme can help you remember it. West is depressed because traveling westbound can trigger depression.
The tendency of airline travel to cause mania and depression was first discovered in the late 1970s and early 80s when psychiatrists actually did a study at Heathrow Airport in London and observed a rise in mania and psychosis in people traveling over multiple time zones. Today, we can now add nocturnal blue light and ambient bedroom light to that list of circadian disruptors. Evening use of smartphones delays and reduces melatonin secretion and impairs sleep and cognition in normal healthy folks with a medium effect size of 0.5, which means that the effect should be noticeable to the casual observer. A vicious cycle is at play here, as evening types, called night owls, have a greater tendency to use electronics at night, and that use independently shifts their circadian rhythm toward the evening type. We call this phase delay because it's shifting the onset of sleep later. The evening chronotype is prominent in adolescence, and eveningness, or being a night owl, is a risk factor for bipolar disorder, depression, and substance abuse. Ambient bedroom light is also a problem, as this light passes through the eyelids and suppresses melatonin even while you sleep with your eyes closed. In controlled animal studies, ambient nocturnal light at night causes depression, impedes learning, and has detrimental effects on the brain of the animal. It lowers brain-strengthening BDNF and shortens the dendritic spines that are essential for learning and cognition. The circadian system is also involved in critical periods of brain development, and disruptions of light signals may play a role in the onset of psychiatric illnesses as well as their exacerbation. When mice are exposed to nocturnal dim light as infants, they grow up to have more anxiety as adult mice. Several human studies have also found a similar phenomenon in bipolar disorder. Using an international database of light changes and onset of bipolar, they've identified a strong link between a rapid change of sunlight in the springtime and earlier onset of bipolar disorder, meaning that bipolar disorder tends to come on earlier if you grow up in a climate where there's a rapid shift in sunlight in the springtime, as opposed to a more temperate shift like you see around the equator. A recent study from Japan illustrates the problem for our patients. They followed 863 older adults for several years, carefully measuring how much light they were exposed to in their bedrooms. On follow-up, the risk of depression was directly correlated with how much light they had in their bedroom at night. Those who slept in pitch darkness had the lowest risk. But what's interesting here is how little light was necessary to shift that risk. 5 lux, which is equivalent to a nightlight, was the cutoff. Those who slept with at least 5 lux in their bedroom had double the risk of depression 2 years later. Now, that study was not controlled, although they did attempt to control for confounders that might otherwise explain the association. But buried in the discussion in the paper was a sentence that struck me. The authors believe that the health risks of evening light are so well documented in animal and epidemiologic human studies that a controlled trial would be unethical in humans. In other words, we already know too much about nocturnal light to learn any more. Instead, it's time for action to educate our patients to follow the natural flow of day and night. That means bright light in the morning, low levels of blue light in the evening, and pitch dark in the bedroom. Those steps are not easy to follow in the modern world, and in next month's podcast, we'll review new technologies that can ease those changes.
Join us then on Psych Pearls, and you can also catch us every Monday on the Carlite Psychiatry Podcast.